Again, we welcome you to tonight's telephone town hall. I'm Quan Wilson with Prince George's County Public Schools, and I'm pleased to be on the call tonight with Interim Superintendent Dr. Sean Joseph and Siobhan Smith, Director of Budget and Management Services for Prince George's County Public Schools. Tonight we will be discussing the fiscal year 27 budget and taking your questions live. If you have a question for tonight's speakers, just press 0 on your phone keypad to be added to the queue to ask your question live. Before we welcome Dr. Joseph to the line, we would like to acknowledge the presence of our members of Executive Cabinet. Thank you, Executive Cabinet members, for joining us on the line this evening. We are also pleased to be joined by our esteemed Board of Education members, Amy Olivo, District 4, and Lolita Walker, District 9. We will hear from our board members during the Q&A portion of tonight's event. Thank you to everyone for joining tonight's event. Without further ado, I would like to welcome and turn the floor over to Dr. Joseph. Welcome, Dr. Joseph, to tonight's event.
Well, good evening, and thank you, Quan. I wish I had your voice. I would be, or Barry White voice. It probably would have been a, you know, better way to go. But good evening, everybody.
You got it covered, sir.
Well, thank you for... Thank you, everybody, for taking time to join us on this phone town hall tonight. I'm Sean Joseph. I'm the interim superintendent here in Prince George's County Public Schools, and so proud to be back working with everyone. You know, tonight we're going to address the serious financial realities that face our district, and I want to begin by framing this challenge within the context of, you know, the incredible momentum that I feel we've garnered this year. I mean, just think about this. In 100 days, you know, I've seen what makes Prince George's County Public Schools simply remarkable. You know, our charge is really clear. We must close the gap and move from pockets of excellence within our district to excellence everywhere. You know, this first 100 days have been about accountability, doing what we say we were going to do and delivering for our students and families. And I think we're beginning to see, you know, some good results. So, for example, we've identified 5 big rocks. You know, that's how we set priorities to guide our work to improve outcomes for all students with disabilities and multilingual learners. We need to accelerate reading and math achievement and reading achievement. We need to reduce chronic absenteeism. We want to expand dual enrollment and internship opportunities. You know, we want to strengthen our culture so we can attract and retain, you know, great people. You know, these areas of focus are what are anchoring the work that we have as we move forward. Yeah, we've also fast-tracked about 80 new substitute teachers and reduced bus driver vacancies to under 100 vacancies this year. Yeah, we have fewer special education paraprofessional vacancies, and we hosted required back-to-school meetings for families and students with disabilities at the start of this year. And that was really important because we've got to let our families know that we see them, we hear them, and we're here to partner with them. We've been proud to finalize 3 union contracts, you know, agreements that value and respect our educators and our staff, you know, who make our schools work. We did a lot of work this year to drive down student immunization noncompliance, and as a result, we were able to restore about $20 million that was once lost due to this attendance-based funding. We actually went from 4,000 students not being immunized last year to now we're at 23. So a tremendous accomplishment that took a collaborative effort from a multitude of staff and county agencies. We're hiring faster, feeding more students, and moving smarter. From meal expansion during the federal government shutdown to improving transportation to launching a new bus app district-wide ahead of schedule, every operational gain is about one thing, and that's supporting, you know, our children and our families. And finally, we've brought together families, staff, and students and helped shape our path forward through 20 listening sessions that began in July and ended sometimes in September. In addition, you know, we've established a new innovation zone, and the purpose of that innovation zone is to better support our most vulnerable schools. We've created 5 new performance and staffing dashboards that make our progress visible in real time and offer a clear view of how we're moving forward. We're also reviewing our parent engagement policy to strengthen and bridge the gap between families and schools. Recently, we've consolidated our blueprint office and our strategic planning office to ensure that every initiative moves in one direction and we're clear about our purpose. We're deepening our communication, and you know, I'm working hard to communicate more frequently, to listen more intentionally, and to ensure that every employee and family knows where we're going. And the reason for tonight's call, we've got to confront our fiscal realities, including a $50 million budget realignment, and doing it with transparency and collaboration. And again, that's why tonight we definitely want to hear from you. You know, together with our amazing Board of Education, with our county executive and with our county council and with our unions, we're working the model collaboration and transparent relationships that are rooted in real partnership. You know, we've embraced County Executive Aisha Braveboy's vision for a unified Prince George's County, where our county and schools speak with one another with one voice, working together to meet our shared goals. I believe we are extremely capable, we're creative, and we will make progress. So the question before us isn't how do we catch up? The question before Prince George's County Public Schools is how do we accelerate our success? The path ahead requires us to have a bit of courage because we face some real structural challenges. Right now, the county is projecting about $100 million shortfall in terms of the county, and to prepare responsibly, you know, I've asked our chiefs to identify about $150 million in reductions to address savings we have to have this year and as we're looking towards the FY27 budget. And as you can imagine, you know, cuts like this are not easy and will require collaborative efforts. However, our priority is clear. We have to protect the work that's happened through your unions to ensure that you have raises and to keep your health care costs manageable, you know, even as we make hard choices necessary to stabilize and strengthen the district. Our approach to this budget has to be strategic. It's going to be about alignment, not achievement deficiency. We don't have an achievement problem. We won't have an achievement problem if we can fix our alignment problem. Right? Our budget will move forward by channeling energy, and we want to focus on some investments that we believe will accelerate student learning. And those, some of those investments include, you know, technology and AI integration. So how do we get staff the right technology to help you do your job better? And how do we train our students to use the types of technology that are out there that can help them better, you know, communicate, collaborate, and effectively do the work that they need to do? I think it's clear we must continue to make investments with safety and security at all levels. We have to change the way we do professional development. You know, the quality of instruction in the school is really dependent upon the quality of feedback and the quality of training that's provided. So we've got to be intentional about what our training looks like and the methods in which we provide professional development. We need to continue to focus on our special education and our ELL supports, you know, ensuring that our most vulnerable students get the resources, you know, that they need and the supports that they need. And I believe in Prince George's County, we can be a national leader in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, otherwise known as STEAM. But thinking about where we start and what we focus on over the course of the next 3 years is going to be critical. And then again, we've got to commit to one of the largest drivers in our budget, which is our employee compensation. You know, so to secure these investments, we must cut where we must and reinvest where we can. You know, this is a moment not only for courage, but it's also a moment for creativity and collective will. And this is why your input is going to be really vital. You know, we know this will be a difficult budget year, and we have tough choices to make in the coming weeks. So this call is the start of that process. So in just a moment, you're going to hear from the Budget and Management Services Office, who will provide further financial context before we open up to answer any questions you may have. So So I want to take a moment to thank you for being on this call, and I look forward to answering your questions. At this time, I will turn it back over to Pawn.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph, and congratulations on a very successful first 100 days. We want to remind you, if you've just joined the call, we have more than 3,000 callers on the line tonight. If you've just joined, we want to remind you to press 0 on your phone keypad to be added into the queue to ask your question live. All right, before we hear from our next speaker, it is time for our first poll question of the evening. We want to hear from you. Do you believe the district has clearly communicated its big rocks or top priorities for the coming year? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. Again, do you believe the district has clearly communicated its big rocks or top priorities for the coming year? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. As we await our final results, we just want to remind you, if you have a question at any time during tonight's program, just press 0 on your phone keypad to be added into the queue to ask your question live. All right, we want to thank all of our participants for participating in our first poll question of the evening. More than 60% of tonight's callers believe, yes, PGCPS has done a great job in clearly communicating its big rocks and top priorities for the coming year. Thank you for your participation. Now we will hear from Siobhan Smith, Director of Budget and Management Services for PGCPS. Welcome, Director Smith.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. My name is Siobhan Smith, Director of Budget and Management Services for PGCPS, and I would like to take a few minutes to explain why our fund balance, which is essentially the school system savings account, is lower this year compared to last year, and what that means for our overall financial health. First, well, what is the fund balance, and why does it matter? The fund balance represents the district's accumulated savings, the difference between what we've received in revenues and what we've spent over time. It's very similar to a household savings account. Maintaining a healthy fund balance is essential because it helps the school system, one, manage cash flow between revenue cycles, cover unexpected costs or emergencies, what we would like to call our rainy day funds, and also protect against sudden changes in funding or economic conditions. The Government Finance Officers Association, or GFOA, which provides national best practices for public finance, recommends that local governments, including school systems, maintain a minimum unrestricted fund balance of at least 2 months of regular operating expenditures. That's roughly 16 to 17% of annual spending. The current fund balance is below this recommended threshold, meaning the district's reserves are lower than ideal levels. This makes it even more important to rebuild reserves and carefully manage spending moving forward. So next, why did the fund balance decrease last year? Well, there are several key factors that contributed to decline in fund balance last fiscal year. The first being rising operating costs. The district continues to experience increased costs in areas that directly support daily operations. This can include transportation, employee compensation, utilities, and contracted services. For example, transportation costs has risen due to higher fuel prices, wage adjustments for our drivers, and expanded service needs. These increases, while necessary, have outpaced the growth in our revenues. Number two, the expiration of federal relief funds. During the pandemic, we benefited from temporary federal relief funding, which helped pay for learning recovery programs, technology upgrades, and health and safety measures. Those funds were one-time in nature, and as they expired, the district had to absorb many of those ongoing costs into the general fund. And three, planned use of reserves. The district made a strategic decision to use portions of the prior year fund balance to help offset the escalating salary costs projected for fiscal year 2023 through fiscal year 2025. While this approach reduced our reserves, it allowed us to invest in our dedicated employees and maintain stability in school operations. Number four, slower revenue growth. Although our costs have increased, revenue growth has been slower than expected. State and local funding adjustments did not fully keep pace with inflation and rising operational costs. Some revenues also came in below projection, which limited our ability to replenish reserves. PGCPS operates within a broader economic and political environment that remains uncertain. The state's blueprint for Maryland's future accounts for nearly 90% of our revenue. Stable, but tightly restricted in how funds can be used. Prince George's County government provides a state-mandated minimum contribution. Federal funding for key programs, from special education to school meals, face potential cuts, which could shift more costs to PGCPS. Fewer students. Student enrollment has leveled off across Maryland, including PGCPS. Because blueprint funding is based on per pupil count, fewer students mean fewer dollars. This is the first year enrollment has dipped since the pandemic, and we need to ensure we're operating responsibly within that new reality. We must reset our budget to reflect what could be a lasting shift in student enrollment. National fiscal pressures are now beginning to affect our fiscal year 2026 budget, and are already being felt this fiscal year with several key cost drivers, including inflation, that's our prices again for food, fuel, supplies. As that continues to rise, our special education costs. Special education continues to grow each year, outpacing blueprint funding increases. As student needs expand faster than state allocations, we rely on unrestricted funds to close the gap. Contracted services and AE conversions have added more than $40 million this year alone. Operational cost pressures. We need roughly $570 million annually in our capital budget to modernize aging school buildings, but receive only about $180 million. This $390 million gap leaves major needs in roofs, HVAC systems, and safety upgrades. Critically delaying these capital projects creates further cost pressures on our operating budget due to the increased emergency maintenance and repairs. Fewer vacancies, higher employee retention has reduced salary lapse savings that typically provided flexibility. Our compensation and benefits, annual increases in salaries and health care costs compound each year. Transportation, ongoing driver shortages, have increased operational costs. We've also incurred higher costs addressing bus driver shortages, including recruitment, training, incentives, overtime, and added routes without dedicated funding sources. So now, looking ahead, while the fund balance is our financial position remains sound and carefully managed. This year's budget reflects our continued commitment to investing in the people who make our schools strong, our teachers, staff, and our support team. Competitive salaries are essential to attracting and retaining the talented professionals our students deserve. However, these well-earned salary increases also bring growing financial responsibilities. Because
recording
these costs compound each year, we cannot depend on a one-time use of our savings to cover them. Instead, we are taking a thoughtful and strategic approach by setting aside a minimal part of our fund balance, again, our financial safety net, to support the budget next year. At the same time, we recognize the importance of long-term sustainability. To preserve our financial health, we will make careful reductions in other spending areas while working to rebuild our fund balance. This balanced approach ensures we can sustain these salary increases, protect our classrooms, and plan responsibly for the future. Without action, these pressures could push the district to overspend by tens of millions this year. To stay balanced, the district must reduce spending by approximately $50 million in fiscal year 2026, an additional $150 million in fiscal year 2027, for a total of roughly $200 million in savings aligned with projected revenues. Effective immediately, a district-wide hiring freeze is in place for central office positions, school-based positions, teachers, substitute teachers, bus drivers, safety and security staff, and maintenance personnel are exempt, and principals are encouraged to move quickly to fill existing vacancies. The district is also reviewing all discretionary spending, including non-local travel, catering services, and meeting-related expenses. These steps are designed to keep the district ahead of potential shortfalls and ensure continued investment in student learning. We will reassess the budget early next year to determine if additional tightening will be needed. We are taking proactive steps to control spending, identify efficiencies, and rebuild reserves over time. The goal is to gradually strengthen our fund balance while continuing to prioritize student achievement, safe learning environments, and high-quality educational programs. We will continue to follow GSOA best practices to ensure that the district maintains fiscal discipline, transparency, and long-term stability. Thank you for your continued trust and support as we navigate these financial challenges together in service of our students and schools. Together, we are investing not just in today's needs, but in the lasting strength and stability of our school system. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Smith. As a reminder, if you have a question at any time during tonight's program, just press 0 on your phone keypad to be added into the queue to ask your question live. In just moments, we're going to open up the line for questions. But before we do that, we are pleased to be joined this evening by our esteemed Board of Education members, Amy Olivo, District 4, and Lolita E. Walker, District 9. Board Member Olivo, we welcome you to the line and allow you to share remarks at this time.
Thank you so much, Quan, and thank you to the thousands of PGCPS staff who have joined us this evening. As a PGCPS parent for more than 15 years now, I know that we have gone through many challenging budget cycles, and I have no doubt that working together we can get through this one successfully as well. I just thank you for your partnership and commitment and for being here this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Member Olivo. Board Member Walker, we welcome you to share remarks at this time.
Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone, for joining. I am excited to work with everyone as we look at these challenging times. As Board Member Olivo also said, I'm also a parent of a Prince George's County scholar, also graduated from Prince George's County Schools, and together I know that we can face all things. So we look forward to hearing from each of you all on how we can tackle this successfully, and I look forward to working with all of you all. Thanks so much for joining tonight.
Thank you, Board Member Walker. We are also joined on the call this evening by members of our Executive Cabinet. Welcome again, Cabinet members. And at this time, we will open the Q&A portion of tonight's program. Director Smith, Dr. Joseph, and Executive Cabinet members, we are now opening the line for questions. If you are on mute, please feel free to unmute your lines at this time. As we prepare to welcome our first caller, our first caller is going to be Dante Barksdale, who has a question about community schools funding. Dante, you are now live and can ask your question.
Much appreciated. Good afternoon or good evening, Dr. Joseph. How are you doing today, sir?
And I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm representing the Gray School of Lake Arbor Elementary, where the staff do yeoman's work day in and day out. And my concern about the budget cuts are dealing with community schools. Community schools are not only the pillar of what PGCPS represents, but also the pillar of the communities as well. So how would those budget cuts affect the job that the community schools could do to service not only the students, but the staff and the family members as well?
Thanks for that question. You know, those funds come from the state, so they're not connected to our operating budget. So, you know, we hope that the state does not reduce those funds. But right now, we don't anticipate significant impact. But once the governor lays his budget out in January, you will see if there's an impact there.
Thank you so much, Dr. Joseph. Mr. Barksdale brought up a great point. Director Smith, I would like to ask you, how will PGCPS protect classrooms if cuts are needed?
Yes. So the most important thing while we are looking at trying to reset our budget is to fence off funds that directly impact our classroom, so instructional support in any shape, form, or fashion. And so the first part is looking at non-instructional costs. Any reduction that we do thus far should not, has not impacted classrooms. We are trying our hardest to stay away from direct instructional support through very strategic means, through a corporate process. There is nothing that we reduce that is not discussed and managed by our leadership. And so if there is an impact, we also will make sure that we incorporate the feedback that we receive from the community and our employees just to make sure that we do not inadvertently impact our classrooms. But that is not the intent behind this exercise at this point in time. Our intent is to really look at non-instructional costs and see if there's a way that we can reimagine how we go about business.
Thank you, Director Smith. At this time, we're going to bring up our second caller of the evening, DeMarciano Hudley. You are now live and can ask your question regarding school buses.
Good evening, Mr. Joseph. I have a question in reference to, you said we're exempt from hiring, we're exempt from the hiring freeze. And my question is, we hired a lot of new drivers at the present time, and we don't have enough buses to accommodate that with what's going on right now. We have a shortage of amount of buses that's available. So is that going to be addressed in the budget to accommodate that as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd have to... I'm not aware of that, so I'd have to turn it over to see if anybody on operations like Dr. Coleman is on to be able to answer that directly, or otherwise I can follow up.
Thank you so much, and we appreciate your question. So we are continuing with hiring for critical areas like bus drivers, so we want to continue to close that gap in the number of available staff. We are at a great place where we're under 100 vacant drivers, so that's significant improvement that we're making as a district. We don't have a shortage of buses. We currently have approximately 960 active drivers, and we have nearly 1,200 buses in our fleet. So we don't have a shortage of buses, and that's something that if you reach out to either me or Director Baldwin directly regarding why you feel that way, that's something we can certainly address. The one other thing that I will add is that in this budget moving forward, we are continuing our cycle of purchasing new buses. We purchase approximately 100 new buses each year. And so each of our buses is on a 12-year cycle. And we're continuing that process even through this budget reduction.
Thank you, Chief Coleman. We are getting ready to pull up our next caller. All right. Our next caller is Ms. Susan Cooper. Susan, you are now live and can ask your question regarding central office.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Joseph. I'm at Rose Valley Administrative Offices. And during SY 24-25, there was an initiative brought forth to consolidate Sasser Administrative Building, as well as the approximately, I believe, 16 or 17 other central office locations across the county. And that initiative was tabled based on an email that at the time it just wasn't feasible. So given the fiscal challenges that are forthcoming, is that initiative going to be revisited, or is it kind of, you know, permanently on hold?
No, thank you for that question. You know, currently plans are still underway for us to move forward to consolidate all of those locations. We're in the process right now of negotiating with the county. You know, the vision of the county, and they thought it was most cost effective if we were to work to go into buildings that the county owned. So we're working with Rex and Park, and also available county space. And we hope that that transition will happen in the spring semester. Originally, we thought that the move would be done by April, but, you know, it's moving a little slower than we would have hoped, but we're hoping definitely by the start of the next school year that that transition will be done.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph.
Thank
Director,
you.
Director Smith, can you speak to us about how PGCPS decides what to fund?
Sure. So we start by looking at what students and schools need most. We review the feedback that we've received. We also try to align all decisions with the board's priorities and a strategic plan that is in place. And then our goal really is simply to make sure that funds support student success, a safe learning environment, and strong school operations.
Thank you, Director Smith. We are now bringing Laura to the line with a question regarding basic essentials. Laura, you are now live and can ask your question regarding school essentials.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Joseph, for holding this call. I've been with PGCPS for 11 years, and I remember the last time we had budget cuts. And my question is, what should school communities do if their school is out of essentials like paper or soap due to budget cuts?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your service, 11 years. And, you know, the answer to that is, you know, we have a process where if schools run out of funds for essentials, you know, we'll prioritize them. I mean, we don't want – our big thing as we, you know, work to save dollars, we know schools have to function. I mean, you have to have the basics of paper, soap, water, you know, and those things. And so, you know, we'll monitor that. Principals will have an opportunity to reach out. And we'll follow up and provide those supports.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. Dr. Joseph, as we prepare to bring up our next caller, I wanted to ask you a question. You've established an innovation and performance zone focusing on the most vulnerable schools. Explain what this initiative is and how it works and how this targeted investment accelerates student progress where resources are needed most.
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. Our, you know, we've got a number of schools that were ATSI schools, CSI schools. These are the schools that needed more intensive support. And what I realized was our schools that needed the most supports didn't have real focused attention to them. And so we created this innovation zone that is led by Dr. Latricia Gloucester to have a person responsible for understanding the needs, the unique needs, you know, of these schools. We have provided Dr. Gloucester with a group of principal supervisors and worked to give her additional supports for curriculum and student services so that way they can work with the principals and staffs in those schools, understanding their unique needs and working to provide, you know, a different type of supervision and more intensive support in helping the schools, you know, achieve their school improvement goals. You know, a lot of our schools within the district have significant, you know, need. I mean, you're working with student populations that, you know, just need additional resource, additional care, more on-site understanding to help coordinate services better. And having a person and team responsible for coordinating those services is just essential because we don't want, you know, our staff that are working in our most challenging schools to feel like they're trying to improve outcomes alone. You know, we have to be in this together, and we have to have a team that can directly communicate with me when there are needs and we need to appropriate funds and support, you know, to those schools to help accelerate.
Thank you,
And so that's the vision. It's just tighter support, tighter monitoring, better communication, and specialized training. And so, for example, Dr. Gloucester and team, you know, are working with the University of Virginia, which has a nationally recognized turnaround support program to ensure that the way we're supporting schools is, you know, research-based, cutting-edge, and has, you know, proven methods to see outcomes grow faster.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. At this time, we're going to bring up our next caller, Tawari, with her question regarding updating school cameras. You are now live and can ask your question.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Superintendent Joseph. I work with the Department of Safety and Security Services, and I was wondering if there was any room in the budget to assist the safety and security staff in getting the new updated cameras, because some schools are operating on the new cameras, while others have the old camera system, and it's becoming harder and harder to see exactly what's going on, especially during investigations. And in turn, it takes us a lot longer, and we end up spending a lot more time than we really should have to in order to solve investigations with the ICs and the sergeants. So is there any way that we may possibly have some space in the budget to where we can get some assistance in updating or upgrading the security cameras and security surveillance systems all throughout the county? I know it'll be a big jump, but if it's possible, it will be greatly appreciated, because we're just getting the old materials from other schools to replace cameras that are broken or units that are broken within the school that are old.
Yeah, thank you so much for your question. You know, it's one of the first requests that I made to Dr. Coleman and Mr. Cunningham was to begin costing out, you know, the cost of, you know, the digital AI cameras that are out there, and also the weapon detection systems that are out there that are able to, you know, spot potential firearms and make alerts and so forth. I'm also interested, particularly at the elementary school, with the, you know, the cards that people can wear around their necks and press a button if there's an emergency. You know, so we've been costing those out, and those are some of the things we're looking at as we're talking about safety enhancements in this particular budget. You know, I believe Dr. Coleman just sent me some information. It would be a little bit over $1 million for a phase one that we were looking at. But I think in this moment in history, every budget has to have a safety enhancements component. I just think we must continue to make efforts to, you know, make sure that our staff and students are safe, and those cameras are foundational, you know, to that process. So it's something we're looking at.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. Before we bring up our next caller, we're going to pause for our second poll question of the evening. All right, we want to hear from you. Do you feel the district is sharing timely and transparent updates about the fiscal year 27 budget? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. Again, do you feel that the district is sharing timely and transparent updates about the fiscal year 27 budget? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. As we await the final results of tonight's survey, we would like to remind you, if you have a question at any time during tonight's program, just press 0 on your phone keypad to be added into the queue to ask your question live. All right, the results are in. 58% of callers that are on the line this evening agree yes, the district is sharing timely and transparent updates about the fiscal year 27 budget. Thank you so much for your participation. Dr. Smith, Director Smith, we would like to ask you, what is the district doing to stay financially strong in the future?
Thank you, Quan. Sure, I can provide a response for that. So the first thing that we're doing is we're planning ahead with multi-year forecasting. So we know that there is a deficit that we're addressing this current fiscal year, and we're looking forward not just in 27, but also where we think we may be in 28, so that we can plan accordingly. We're reviewing programs. We're looking at contracts. This is district-wide. Our central office operations to see where we can find savings and improve efficiencies. We're reducing our reliance on one-time funds. That's our, a lot of that is our fund balance, again, which is our savings account for ongoing needs. And we're strengthening our financial practices to make sure that our resources are going where they benefit students the most. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Smith. At this time, we are going to bring to the call Megan Claggett with a question regarding credit recovery options for students. Megan, you are now live and can ask your question.
Good evening, everyone. My question is brief. I know that there was a state mandate a while ago that about charging students for credits, but it does seem like between summer school and credit recovery courses, and even honestly, though I'm a recipient of this as a parent, the dual enrollment courses and AP exams, the expenses seem to now all fall on the county and not on families. And I'm totally for farms, you know, paying for free and reduced and covering those people who are proven hardship. But my wondering is, how has covering the expenses of things like credit recovery and so forth eaten into our budget as a county? And if there's any discussion moving forward with the state or whoever is mandating these things about how that is hurting our overall cost.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that question. I mean, you know, ensuring that students have equal access and an expectation, you know, to take, you know, those types of exams is important, you know, to us as a county. You know, we must look at our expenditures, though, and, you know, we were in our executive cabinet today, for example, and kind of going through some preliminary potential cuts. And everything is on the table right now. So we are looking at, you know, what are we paying for and is it necessary for the cost? And so know that everything that we're currently paying for, we are looking at to see if there are some savings. You know, we don't want to hurt children who couldn't afford, you know, taking those tests. But at the same time, there probably are some families that could be paying for things. You know, that's a conversation that if we begin to make those type of cuts, you know, we'll bring to the community to get feedback to look at the, you know, cost benefit of it all. But for us, equity is important, and having the expectations that people take the exams is important. I can remember, you know, when I was chief academic officer and also, you know, when I was superintendent in Nashville, we had a situation where many students were going through CTE pathways, for example, and they would go through the pathway, but then they would not take the test. And when we started mandating that the test should be taken, and then we started paying for it, you know, we saw you know, performance kind of double during that time. So if, you know, it's a philosophical conversation that's worthy of having. You know, if we expect students to go through the pathways, we should expect them to take the test. And, you know, there's a bit of fear that if we don't pay for certain tests, then kids won't take them. And we want them to show what they know and get the certifications. But we're looking at it all, and there could be a time where we really do need to, you know, stop paying for as many tests as we currently pay for.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. We'd like to remind all callers on the line, if you have a question at any point, just press 0 on your phone keypad to ask your question live. At this time, we are preparing to welcome Colin Welch with a question regarding cuts that are being considered. Colin, you are now live and can ask your question.
Hi, good evening. So my question is, you've shared that there are going to be some strategic cuts and, you know, facing budget pressures. And you've shared some of the, like, low-hanging fruit, like non-local travel obviously makes sense. I'm curious, if you're able to share any specifics of, like, what are the kinds of tough decisions that are likely going to be made or, like, are on the table for consideration, just to get a sense of, like, what sort of decisions are likely to be made.
All right, so Colin, you said let's just get this party popping, huh? Just give it to us.
Yeah, pretty much, if you're able to.
Sure. I mean, look, I think we've got to look at our central office staff. And right now we've got lots of vacancies in buildings, and would it make sense to cut some of, you know, the central office positions that we've had and redeploy them back in schools, right? That's one option. I think we have to look at our low-enrolled programs. You know, we've got a lot of specialty programs in our district. And, you know, some of our programs are very lowly enrolled. And there's a huge cost in terms of staffing, administrators, and things of that nature, curriculum training for a very low amount of students. So we'd have to look at whether we keep certain programs open or not. I think we need to look at, again, so like what are some of the things we're paying for in terms of some of our services that we have, like for example, in the districts, we have a multitude of systems that we use to communicate virtually, right? We have Teams, we might have Zoom, we have multiple things. Do we need multiple things, or do we cut some of the services that we're currently paying for and just, you know, have one option to save cost? So we're looking at duplication of efforts. We've just got to look at a lot of the contracts and things that we have right now, and some of the materials that we're using in the district, and ask ourselves, you know, are there cuts and opportunities there? I mean, those are some of the big things. You know, whenever you start addressing programs and things, I mean, if you got one person in a program, you know, they'll love it to death. And also, we're spending on things, and we don't necessarily know the return on investment for it, you know. So we could have some programs that we've been doing for decades, but we really don't know if those programs are having an impact. And so these are the types of questions we're going to be asking as we move forward.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. All right. We are now preparing to welcome to the line Stephanie Powell with a question regarding servicing students. Stephanie, you are now live and can ask your question to Dr. Joseph, members of Executive Cabinet, and, of course, our Budget Office. Stephanie, are you with us? Stephanie, are you there? Okay, we may have lost Stephanie. As we wait to pull up our next caller, we're going to transition into our third and final poll question of the evening. We want to hear from everyone on the call tonight. Are you willing and able to reach out to your Maryland senator and delegates about the importance of fully funding PGCPS? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. Again, are you willing and able to reach out to your Maryland senator and delegates about the importance of fully funding PGCPS? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. As we wait for those final responses to come in, Dr. Joseph, I just want to let you know that we have nearly 4,000 people join us during tonight's call.
That's great. I really need a Barry White voice.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll practice for tomorrow.
You are already ready, sir. All right, Dr. Joseph, it looks like we've received in those responses. More than 70% of employees on the line tonight are willing to reach out to Maryland senators and delegates about the importance of full funding for PGCPS. We are grateful for their support. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Dr. Joseph, as we begin to wrap up this evening, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a moment where we really need to focus. I think, like I said, I don't think Prince George's County has an achievement problem as much as an alignment problem. And I do think we need to focus. Whenever there are opportunities to reduce spending, I think there's an opportunity for us to think about, how we do things more efficiently, effectively. And this is the time, for us to do that. And I think we're going to have, I predict, and I hope I'm wrong, but I anticipate, we're going to have multiple years of financial challenge. So, I think, we'll get through this year, I'm confident. But I think in the coming years, it could be harder. And as we cut through the fat and then cut into the meat, there comes a point where you get to the bone. We're not there yet, and I don't think we'll be there this year. But if we continue to have, years of $100 million worth of cuts, we should be prepared. Our colleagues in Baltimore County last year, for example, they cut $100 million from their budget, and then this year they have another year where they're going through it. So, if you look around Maryland, you see large complex districts are tightening, our belts. And so, I don't think this will be a year where we'll get to a place where we're looking at, increasing class sizes and things. And, those are things that make people go snap, crackle, pop. So that's not a this year thing, I don't believe. But I'm hoping we don't have to get there. But like I said, we have to look at everything. The biggest thing for us is to, ensure that we're cutting as far away from the classroom and schools as possible. I mean, that's the first priority. Like we've got to keep schools whole, keep schools at the center. But when you're cutting, over $100 million from a budget, it's impossible. There's not enough central office to cut. You have to do things that are going to impact schools. And so I think we have to go into these years optimistic. We have to go into these years being communicative, and we have to be prepared for potential change. Because, if I've been using, Zoom, for example, in the system all my life, and then all of a sudden we say there's no more Zoom, that there's an adjustment. But we have to figure out how to, go to the next best thing and manage. And our commitment is that we'll communicate effectively. There's never a time when you make lots of tough decisions that everybody agrees. But it's my hope that everybody will understand and that we'll do a good job, communicating the why and communicating kind of the priorities, and then working with the Board of Education to make the decisions that need to be made to ensure that we remain fiscally responsible and fiscally healthy. That is extremely important, and we'll do it. But it's gonna take effort. And so I thank you all, one, for giving us an hour of your time tonight just to engage, and two, I encourage you to stay engaged. Come to board meetings, share your thoughts. Reach out to communicate with your principals and your offices, and reach out to your unions. And let's be one Prince George's County, united, focused, and impactful. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve you all.
Thank you so much, Dr. Joseph, for your remarks and your incredible leadership. I would also like to thank all of our Board of Education members and Executive Cabinet members for joining us during tonight's event. And I want to especially thank our nearly 4,000 PGCPS employees for joining tonight's call. We thank you so much for your engagement and support. Thank you and good night, everyone.